Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Happy holidays and welcome to the ID the Future podcast, being broadcast from the Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. We have on our show today a very special guest, Dennis Wagner, who is the executive director of the Access Research Network. Access Research Network is recognized as one of the most popular online intelligent design organizations. And if I'm not incorrect in saying, you guys have the largest online intelligent design store. Is that true, Dennis?
I believe that's true. We have hundreds of articles and books, CDs, videos, DVDs, discussion forums, all sorts of resources.
Okay, well, we'd like to welcome Dennis to the podcast today. Again, the website is arn.org. And Dennis, thank you for being on the show.
My pleasure.
So first off, I think I'd like to just let you tell our listeners a little bit about what ARN is. ARN is short for Access Research Network. And what does ARN do besides stirring up mischief among the citizenry?
Well, ARN is a scientific and educational nonprofit dedicated to providing accessible information on science, technology, and society issues from an ID perspective. So we are basically a network of mostly volunteers that are scientists, engineers, educators, just folks that are interested in this topic. And we have a lot of people that volunteer their time to help us collect news, to post on our website, help us produce some of our products. We have a couple part-time staff members here in Colorado Springs that maintaining the website and fulfilling orders, but most of our people are just a network of volunteers, and that's why we call ourselves Access Research Network.
Well, you guys certainly do quite a bit, Dennis, for a fairly small organization with just a few staff members, and what the work that you've done is quite impressive. I know that Access Research Network puts out periodic reports, and my understanding is that you guys plan to release a report at the end of this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. At the end of each year, we like to kind of send out a summary of a kind of a state of ID and what's happened this past year and what kind of activities we've been involved in, and we send that out to our people who subscribe to our email list and our donors, that types of things. So we have our year-end report this year ready to go out. This year we highlighted about 20 news articles that we thought really gave the pulse of what was happening in intelligent design this year.
So let's talk about those news articles a little bit. What were some of your favorite articles from 2006, or what was your selection process? Did you try to find the articles that called intelligent design the most names, or were you trying to find the ones that were most favorable, or what exactly? How did you pick these top 20 articles?
Well, we have a regular ID news blog on our website that is updated daily, and so we have hundreds of stories in there. And basically what we did is scan back through all the stories in there this year. And basically we were looking kind of for three categories. The first was articles that talked about new scientific evidence or discoveries that kind of confirmed the idea of design and complexity in life. And there were several in there this year. One that I liked came out of Germany, where researchers announced that they'd finished the first complete analysis of the molecular machines in baker's yeast, which is a pretty simple biological unit, but one of the most important ones that are studied by scientists. And the statement that caught my eye in that research report was a quote from the project manager who said, if you think of the cell as a factory floor, up until now we've known some of the components of a fraction of the machines. That has seriously limited what we know about how the cell works. This study gives us nearly complete part list of all the machines and goes beyond to tell how they populate the cell. So what I like about this article is that it confirms the hypothesis that the ID researchers have put out, that the cell has been designed. And when we find machines in the cell, we find complexity in the cell, these just point to things that can't be explained by random processes, and we think further point to design. The same thing, there's another article that came out talking about the gene and how the complexity of that was just far beyond what they had ever expected it to be. Another one from Australia, where Australian researchers reported that the fly's eye, just a common household fly, holds an important blueprint for creating better video cameras. And the scientists down there were reverse engineering the eye to come up with new design ideas, better designs for video systems. And again, when people spend time reverse engineering something, a biological system, as an engineer, which is my background, that tells me somebody must have engineered it to begin with. So again, we have stories like these coming out every year, but these are the ones this year that really caught my eye.
That's really interesting, Dennis, and it almost sounds like these articles are largely documenting the fulfilled prediction of intelligent design that we're going to find machine-like properties and machine-like structures in biology. Would you say that's happening and that's the case with these articles?
I think we see that happening just from the secular reports, in the secular scientific journals. Also, to me, one of the more exciting things is something happening up there in your neighborhood, which was the report in the New Scientist at the end of the year about the Biologic Institute with the research that's specifically being done from an intelligent design perspective. I think some of these others were just kind of neutral research projects that are confirming the idea of intelligent design. What we have happening up there at the Biological Institute in Redmond is scientists actually starting from the intelligent design framework and saying, what new things can we learn about life, about biology? If we start from this framework, we learn things that we can't learn from a Darwinian perspective.
Yeah, that's right, Dennis. And I'm sure that our listeners will probably be hearing more about biologic and some of that research in the future. So before we go any further, I think that it's important for our listeners to know, how can they get the ARN update and how can they sign up to get your periodic reports?
Great question. Two easy ways. One is just go to our homepage, arn.org. And we have a monthly newsletter, email newsletter called ARN Announce, and on our homepage there's a place you can click to sign up for that. So that would be a monthly kind of summary of some of these stories that go out. The second is we have our news blog that I told you about, and that is, if you have a news RSS feeder, you can get subscriptions to that, so daily updates will be delivered to your desktop. So there's two different easy ways to get our news electronically.
So intelligent design updates delivered directly to your desktop.
Right.
That sounds pretty good to me. One story that you did mention, I believe, that has actually, I think we've covered this on a previous podcast, so maybe we could talk about this a little bit, was the conference that was held in La Jolla, California, at the very prestigious biotech mecca, the Salk Institute, which was called Beyond Belief. And it was a conference on science and religion where some very prestigious scientists from around the world gathered to express their take on how scientists should be treating religion. And can you tell us a little bit about that conference and what took place and what did you talk about with that conference in your report?
Basically it was a gathering of some of the leading scientists around the world who said, you know, we believe in rational thought, we believe in naturalism, we don't have any use for religion. Let's find a scientific basis or reason for eliminating religion, which was really surprising. And of course, as part of that, the ID movement was brought up, as they see as that is connected in some way of the designer with the concept of religion. So basically it was both those topics were covered. You had Richard Dawkins was there, and he recently published the God Delusion book. Anybody that's read that, I think, would get the gist of what this conference was about. They basically think all horrible things in the world that have happened are a result of religion, and they think we'll be better off without religion. And I think just to give you a sense of that, Nobel Prize-winning physicist Steven Weinberg concluded his opening remarks at the conference by saying, "The world needs to wake up from its long nightmare of religious belief. Anything we scientists can do to weaken the hold of religion should be done and may, in fact, be our greatest contribution to civilization." The scary thing about this is, you know, obviously these guys are all committed atheists. That's their religious beliefs. And a lot of these guys are employed by, government-funded institutions, and they're using their positions to, I think, foster their religious beliefs, which is atheism, on the rest of the world in the name of science. So very interesting that they would do a public conference like this, which is actually available. You can see all the sessions on the internet video and over 20 hours of video of taping of this conference. I recommend people really go watch that to get a taste of what's really going on behind the scenes.
Dennis, was there any other interesting news you'd like to mention from this year of 2006?
Well, yeah, there's two broad areas. The first is the growing body of professionals that are questioning Darwinism and investigating design, and we're seeing growth in several areas. One was a recent poll that indicated that 60% of medical doctors in the U.S. have serious doubts about the veracity of macroevolutionary theory as taught in universities today, and a new society started to try to organize the positions called Physicians and Surgeons for Scientific Integrity. That's an interesting development. Another one is statement that was released by Discovery Institute this summer that we now have over 600 doctrinal scientists from around the world who have signed a statement publicly expressing their skepticism about Darwin's modern theories. We also see a lot of international activity where speakers are going to Japan and Europe and speaking on topics of intelligent design and challenging Darwinism, and getting a real high interest there from professionals in academic and scientific research.
So this leads into my next question, because really at the end of the Dover trial, Dennis, you're probably aware that there were a lot of Darwinists who were rejoicing and that they had thought they had seen, quote, the death of intelligent design. Obviously, intelligent design is not dead if there's scientists all around the world that are continuing to express support for it or are questioning Darwin. My question for you, from your vantage point, as the executive director, is one of the largest, probably the largest online resource house for intelligent design books and videos and other materials. Did you guys perceive or experience that Judge Jones' banning of intelligent design in Dover, Pennsylvania caused the death knell of intelligent design, or have you seen more interest in people buying ID materials in this year of 2006?
Well, as you know, Casey, the Dover trial wasn't the first trial to touch on these issues. For the last 30 years, we've had several cases at the federal level, almost all of them trying to ban creationism, ban intelligent design, ban Genesis out of the classroom, those kinds of things. But, you can't ban truth. And I think what people are saying is that this issue won't go away because there's some truth behind this whole idea of design and nature. And as more scientists are exposed to it and writing books about it, publishing papers on it, Judge Jones really tried to put the nail in the coffin. As you know, he really overreached his decision in many ways, trying to just end this whole controversy. But, based on the news articles we've talked about, based on the, book sales, the web hits, if you go to our website, we have a little map of the globe over there on the right-hand side. You click on that, and you'll see people all over the world are accessing our website every day. There's just an immense and intense growing interest in this. And I think things like the Dover trial really only helped pique people's interest in that.
Thank you very much, Dennis. One more time for our listeners. What is your website again, and how can our listeners get on the ARN update?
Sure. It's www.arnforaccessresearchnetwork.org. And you go there, you'll find a link for subscribing to our electronic email, the ARN Announce. We'll also have some links on there to this year-end study and a couple of press releases that we're sending out this week on top 10 news stories and top 10 resources for the Darwin versus Design debate. And so that's the best place to go. Go to our homepage, and you'll have plenty of links to get you everywhere else you need from there.
Okay, well, thank you, Dennis. Merry Christmas to you and everyone at ARN, and I look forward to hearing more from you guys in the future.
Thanks, Casey. It's been great talking to you today.
This is Casey Luskin closing out the ID the Future podcast. Thank you for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.